The City Quick Connect podcast is brought to you by the Municipal Association of South Carolina.
Hey everyone, this is Russell Cox, editor of the Municipal Association of South Carolina's Uptown publication, and I am joined today by Nicole Burrows. Nicole is the town administrator for the town of Chapin. Welcome.
Thank you, Russell. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you guys today.
We are very happy to have you. We are going to be talking about Town of Chapin won a 2023 Achievement Award from the Municipal Association for its Chapin Art Trail. Chapin, as many of our listeners will know, is known by many as the capital of Lake Murray. And one of the things Chapin is known for is its event that took place recently, the Chapin Labor Day Festival and Parade. Nicole, I remember when I reached out to you, like, it was the day before the Labor Day weekend. And so I sent you an email like, hey, I know you're really busy right now.
Yes, you're lucky that you got a response from me, because I'll be honest, most of the time it's a real quick one word, K, or I'll be right back, or mm-hmm. I'll talk to you after Labor Day. But yes, we're very blessed to have a very active festival and a lot of visitors during that time frame. So it makes our calendars very full, but our hearts very happy. So we love seeing everybody. It's a good time of year for us.
We were talking just now and you told me the count of people. What is it?
It's at like 20,000 people. That's what our estimates show. And we had our mm-hmm. largest ever car show this year as part of it. So over 200 submittals in that car show. I mean, it was stacked with just submission after submission, some really incredible cars, some really incredible people, over 100 vendors. We've got a huge parade that lasts for over an hour. And we had this year's theme was Chapin Treasures. So it was a pirate theme, which meant we had lots of pirates invading Chapin this year, which was really cool. It was fun to see.
I caught some of the television coverage of all the kids being pirates. And yes, that looks like fun. So we are talking in terms of this award about the Chapin Art Trail. I always love city art projects that have numerous pieces providing variations on a theme. You know, like right now in Sumter, it's the butterflies, and everyone knows Mice on Main. That's a little different. But what we're talking about in Chapin's case is, fittingly enough, sailboats.
Yeah, we're very on brand here. We're very, very thematic, if you will. Sailboats is something because we are the capital of Lake Murray. And Chapin has always struggled a little bit with creating an identity or carving out something unique and special about itself. For a long time, we've really been known as a bedroom community, someplace mm-hmm. that people go to the lake, they live here, but they really went elsewhere to really enjoy shopping or any of those things, entertainment kind of opportunities. And that's something that in the last couple years, ever since I really came and started concentrating a lot on economic development, the Chapin has a lot going on, and people just it changed almost overnight, it seemed like. So that expansive growth, the opportunities that have come to Chapin, the types of businesses, shopping, restaurants, just a number of different opportunities, we really want to showcase that. So mm-hmm. obviously Chapin Labor Day is a great opportunity to do that, but then also through these art projects, we really wanted to tie a cohesive theme. We also wanted to incorporate as many organizations as possible, and mm-hmm. we are very blessed to have the Crooked Creek Art League that was not only just a great, fantastic partner in this, but really they spearheaded it. In the initial conversations that we had about wanting to infuse public art and really look for a theme and starting to build off of this, it was them and me sitting in a conference room, just snowballing ideas, brainstorming mm-hmm. on what might work. And of course you have all those towns, like you mentioned, Sumner, but you've got Aiken and there's several cities who have done it really well and who have done different versions of this. We wanted mm-hmm. something that was unique to us, but that also gave us a big opportunity to showcase art. So not mm-hmm. just in small features, but in a larger footprint, and the sailboats being the first really portion of this project, you could see if you've seen them, they're large. And so mm-hmm. we treated them as a canvas. So it wasn't just something small or something hidden. It really became part of the fabric of Chapin, and we're really proud of that.
Can you talk a little, while we're talking about the sailboat portion, like how many we're talking about, what they're made out of, where they are located in the town?
Sure. So we started, I believe, with 18 of the sailboats, and you'd have to double check my numbers on that one, but because it was several years ago, and we've done several different iterations of projects since then, but I believe it was 18. And the sailboats, they're huge. They're steel construction, and they were painted in a waterproof, obviously, mm-hmm. paint that became part of the fabric of really that design. And it started off with, we auctioned them all first. We had an opportunity for businesses to sponsor. So each sailboat was located at a business. And now that I'm saying that, it might be more like 13. Each business sponsored it. So there was an amount of money that they paid to host that sailboat for a portion of time. Mm-hmm. We did a juried selection as far as getting the artists. So they had to submit to the Crooked Creek Art League. They were evaluated on their concept and their idea. And then once they were paired with a sailboat that would go at a certain business in a certain location and had a certain theme to it. Mm-hmm. A lot of them had different scenes that were specific to Chapin, whether it was featuring the history or featuring lake scenes. But some of them had more of a patriotic theme to them. It just depended on what it was. But all the concepts were evaluated by the panel and evaluated for appropriateness, but also for overall desire for the community and appropriateness within the community, not just being appropriate in general, but that it made mm-hmm. sense with our area. And so then they were on display for about 2 months. So that 2 month process, the business really got to showcase it, but they also had a lot of visitors that would come by because they wanted to see all these different sailboats. Mm-hmm. So you might would go to a business center, for example, and you might go, oh, that's a beautiful, that's an amazing display. Look how gorgeous that is. Oh, I think I might want to get a coffee while I'm here, right? You just can't help but tie that business to the artwork. So you would typically visit the business, which was a huge economic driver for our businesses. And then what was really neat is then the Crooked Creek Art League auctioned each one of those off for their permanent home. So several of them were actually auctioned and awarded to another business in town. Either it stayed, being that business came out of pocket again and said, mm-hmm. no, we want to keep this here permanently. Or someone else bought it on their behalf, or someone else was able to purchase it through the auction and decided to take it outside of Chapin. So we have several that are still in town. There are 8 that are still in town, which we're very mm-hmm. excited about. And then several others that, like I said, were transported elsewhere, whether that be to a home or a lakefront house or somewhere else outside of the Chapin community. And that was okay, right? Because it was a fundraiser, and that just meant that the Chapin art got to float away a little bit and expand the region, which we were fine
float
with,
away.
Right? Yeah, sail away a little bit. And we were okay with that, but we got to keep several of them. And now, at this point in time, 3 have found their way to our property, which is phenomenal in the sense that now we've got several different images of the Chapin artwork here on our property, mm-hmm. which is really neat. And that incorporates into then the actual trail that we have on our property as well.
Yes. So can you tell us about the trail, the nature park, everything that's happening there?
Sure. So then as we went through this process of really wanting a desire to have public art installations and really wanting to incorporate this incredible talent that we have through the Crooked Creek Art League and all these artists that we have, we're one of the largest in the Midlands, really focusing that on public displays that the public can enjoy and are really opportunities for young and old to enjoy this art in a very public sphere. We started thinking about what else makes sense. And one of the things on our property is that we do have a lot of green space. And when I say mm-hmm. our property, I mean the town hall property. It's property that's owned by the town of Chapin. We don't have a park per se, like what you would think of as a recreational park that has playground equipment, but we do have a trail. And mm-hmm. we decided as a town to invest really low cost. Our public works team was able to do this in-house. We got some partners that donated things like mulch or tires or railroad tires and railroad tracks, things, the lumber, to be able to incorporate that into the overall trail. So it's very low cost, but it created a very passive way for the community to come on the property and just enjoy it. The entranceway to this trail is actually bordered by a memorial garden that we had another organization help us with, and that's for children who have passed away in a memorial area for parents to come and gather. So that's sort of the entrance spot. And then we have a pollinator garden. So the Pollinator Garden is, like I said, right at the entry point, right next to the Memorial Garden. And that was created in partnership with the SC Wildlife Federation and the Chapin Garden Club. And it came from an idea of really trying, as we looked through the town, and we have a lot of green space, really trying to create less manicured areas, but still areas that help encourage things like bees and butterflies, because mm-hmm. those are really good for the natural habitats. And obviously, because we have a nature trail, what a nice entryway to not only add some color and be beautiful, but also be something that really helps with the natural populations of the animals and the insects and all that stuff. So they came alongside of that. Dominion Energy was a huge sponsor in that to allow us to not spend any town money, but to really be able to leverage different nonprofit organizations and grant opportunities to create that entryway, that focal point. And then, as I said, from that desire of working on those, when we were talking to Crooked Creek Art League about the next phase, because we've just done the sailboats, they're these large scale projects. I'd actually gone to Nashville and I had seen a couple different versions of pocket parks. And one of the things I really liked about pocket parks is they seem to have these very small little, I guess you'd call them trail markers or little posts is the best way to put it. And so I snapped some pictures, and when we were brainstorming and did our annual brainstorming session, that was something that I said, I want these. I said, what's really nice about that is that we can not only incorporate the sailboats at the very tip top of these trail markers, but it also creates the opportunity for you to hide them a little bit better. So the large sailboats, you're not hiding. Those are very visual. They're very obvious. You're going to see them. If you're driving by, you're going to see them, right? They're in your face, which is beautiful and lovely and amazing. But I also kind of like the idea of having some smaller little secretive nooks in there, so people have to go on an adventure to find them a little bit. And so this idea of a trail marker, because we were working on the trail and we were already partnering with Chapin Garden Club and like I said, SC Wildlife Federation, the Crooked Creek Art League jumped all over that too. So we can do that. That's not a problem. And so now we have these really incredible trail markers that are all over the place. Mm-hmm. So some people decided to buy them in sets of three. So there's some businesses that have three of them and they mark their gardens and their little landscaped areas. Some have individual posts because some of the artists chose to do individuals. And so like we have one that's in our lobby, actually, that's my favorite. And it's like a woodland scene. Each corner of the post has a different element to it, raccoon or a little butterfly or a tree frog or just different elements that are really neat. And it has some texture to it, which is cool. And then on the trail, you can actually see several as well. So and then they're hidden all throughout town. So you have, like I said, large scale sailboats. You've got these smaller trail markers. And those became fundraising vehicles to then do public art installation, which helped fund the public art that we have. It's a three-sided triangle. It's a large scale aquatic scene. And Olga, who actually, she's an artist that did one of our most popular sailboats, she actually won as the best submittal and the best public art installation submittal. So we were able to create that, and that was done through partnership with Central Carolina Community Foundation and the Greater Chapin Community Foundation that all supplied grants. And then the town came in as well as the chamber and partnered together to create a $5,000 donation to be able to not only do that one, but also a mural. So as you can see, there's a theme, right? We start with one, and then we took that and we turned it into a second, and then we took that and we turned it into a third, and we took that and we turned it into a fourth. So it's definitely been an evolution over time.
Continuing to leverage things to make more things happen. The installations you're describing, where are those located?
So those are all throughout town. So like I said, there are some, the one public art installation that's the largest, and actually that's the one that was featured in the video. It happened to work out perfectly that when the production team was here in town, I scheduled it so that they would be here during the unveiling of the public art installation.
We got that shot of the
unveiling. Yes, it's beautiful. And that one's larger, right? So as you're driving through town, that one is the largest to date, the largest in scale. And it, like I said, it's three-sided, so it doesn't take up much space, but it is the largest. And as far as effort goes, it was quite the feat. So that one is located right in the center of town. It's off of Chapin Road and one of our businesses, Spring Hill, that has been incredibly gracious towards the art community and sponsored just every evolution of this. They've contributed. They were the ones that we were selected that location. It's right at the corner of two major intersections. And so it was just a really nice spot. And they agreed to do some landscaping and stuff around it to make it stand out a little bit more. So that one's a big one. And then the town was able to secure an easement. There's a parking lot that the town owns. And there's just happens to be one of our older buildings. It's a cinder block building, blank wall. And I said, you know, I really want a mural right there. And so through the same submittal process, we had a local artist that is actually one of her artworks is actually right above my head. Her name's Nikki Peebles, and she does fantastic abstract type art. And she actually had submitted as part of the same submittal, but she wanted to do a sign. And the sign had some variables to it that were going to make it very difficult, especially from a town perspective. Signage is something that towns are always a little bit protective over. And it was just going to be difficult. We're having a lot of road work going on, so trying to find a location, it was just going to be very challenging. But the submittal was beautiful. And so we were able to work together to say, well, let's not ignore it. Let's go ahead and be able to fund that. So that's how the town and the chamber were able to support. We came together and funded that portion so that she could be incorporated into her mural because it wasn't, you know, the submittal, that was not her fault, right? Those are just the governmental requirements that sometimes make these things a little more challenging than what you're planning on. But it ended up working out perfectly because the building that we have it on is the Davidson's building. Couldn't have been easier for me to work with. And they granted the town an easement so that we could get her to do the mural. And I think the biggest thing in looking at all of them, you haven't asked this question yet, but it really just takes effort to pull these different parts together. You can be a very small town with very limited resources. But if you have the desire to do it, it's just working with the partnerships that exist already in the fabric of your community. You know, none of these things were entities or organizations that the town created. They were all organizations that existed. We're all working towards their own individual goals, but just having a government partner to come in and say, you know, we have a desire to do something and we really want to incorporate you guys. They all ran with it. I mean, the minute that we would say, we want to help you, they know what they're doing, right? The Garden Club knows how to build gardens, right? They know how to do that. You know, the Crooked Creek Art Leagues know, they know how to do art, right? They know how to judge art and do submittals and all that stuff. So,
and they know all the local artists probably are all their members.
They know how to publicize it. They know how to get them involved. So it really is an issue with the town of Chapin being as small as we are with a very limited workforce. I mean, extremely limited. Everybody here does two or three jobs. If we were to say this is Nicole's job or this is, you know, the communications person's job or whoever, and we were to say this is what you do, it would be incredibly difficult for them to be able to manage all of this in such a short period of time. But by working and leveraging those partnerships, you have a whole army of people that are doing what they love to do. I mean, this is what they do. This is what they are passionate about. So leveraging those and creating that appreciation and partnership. And of course, as a town, then we honor them, right? We give them all the publication, all the glory, all the support that they need to be able to do what they do successfully. So it's been really an honor to work on the project.
One thing you said jumped out at me as the most town administrator, town manager story possible, that I went to another city, I saw something, I said, that's cool, we're going to do that.
That is the most, yes. Tell me you're a town administrator without telling me you're a town administrator, absolutely. And I think that's the sign of, to tell you the truth, I think you almost get a little bit programmed to do that, to be honest. So, you know, I'll never go to a city and not look at the architecture or the traffic flow or the landscape medians or the master arm traffic signals. I'll never not look at those things, right? Because that's just what you get so used to looking at in your own town and going, oh, I want this, I want that, in the best way. And I take it as a true compliment when people come to Chapin and say the same thing. Oh, I saw that you did that and I want to do that over here. I love the way this worked. And so we replicated it. That there's no greater compliment. And, and you know, that I'm very blessed to have a lot of peers that not only welcome me into that space and say, hey, this is what we did, but they also are willing to share information. And I think that's what's so neat about these achievement awards is, at the conference, that's what all everybody was talking about, right? Is who's winning this award and what did they do and how did you do that? And, oh, I love that idea. Can you send me some of the paperwork or can you tell me how you got that done? And each town's going to have their own unique different challenges and opportunities. But being able to take something and replicate it in your own area is so important. And obviously that makes us all better. So, yeah, it's been awesome. We've loved it.
So you started off by talking about this focus on arts and culture. What does it mean for the identity of Chapin? What does it mean for economic development? So from the projects that have happened so far, what has been the response?
Well, so there's a number of things, right? So first is people who just happen to travel through our town. It's just the nature of the way where we're located and the traffic patterns. They've been doing a lot of road work on the interstate, which means that a lot of people, instead of taking the interstate, are literally traveling through our town.
They completely rebuilt your interstate exit.
Yes. The whole thing. The whole thing. Yes. Completely diverted traffic. Still in the process of it. It's fun. It's been fun. And so as we're going through that process, it has changed people's traffic routes. So one of the first things, right, was that there's a noticeable difference when you get to Chapin. It is noticeable. It is visual. People see it. And I think the first thing that makes people realize is that, one, we're in Chapin, which is, you know, important from that perspective. But two, it almost makes people want to stop. When you see that type of artwork or you see something that is beautiful and attractive and aesthetically pleasing, you can't help but want to be in that space. So for all of our businesses, there's an economic component to that as well, right? When they're sponsoring, yes, they paid to sponsor this artwork or they paid for the artwork to be an installation on their site, on their location. But then when people come in and say, I stopped because I saw that painting and that is so beautiful. Who did that? Or tell me more about these sailboats because they're not from here and they didn't realize it, or they just moved here and now they're getting to see it in that new way. That's obviously been huge. And that response we've heard over and over and over again of businesses telling us about that, people calling town hall, and then people just as they happen to be here, like for the Labor Day Festival or whatever may be going on, that they mention it, which is really, really neat. The other thing that it's done, which is really cool, is that we have two really distinct groups in Chapin. We have people who have been here and own family land for generation after generation. It used to be a joke when I first moved here in 2008. The joke was, you know, well, if you haven't lived here for 70 years, then you can't say you're from Chapin. Well, there's a lot of people who haven't even been born for 70 years, but that was the joke, right? You have to have lived here for 70 years or more. And if you're at 37 years, that doesn't quite cut it. So sorry, you're not quite there yet. So we have that group of people, and then we have the newcomers, because we experienced over the last 10 years and a massive amount of growth in the surrounding area of Chapin. So not necessarily the town of Chapin, but in the surrounding area. So as people come into Chapin, there are a lot of times new families, new faces, different backgrounds, coming from either, you know, the West or the East Coast, somewhere in the North or Florida. And that means there's this merging of cultures, right? And it's different than what people who have been here 70 years or multi-generations have experienced. And while there's challenges to that, there's also opportunity. And one of the things that we've noticed with the artwork is that the themes have been very unifying. Everybody can look at a sailboat that has a picture of two kids jumping off of a dock and recognize how beautiful that is, and that's why they're here. It doesn't matter if you've been here for multi-generations or if you just moved here yesterday. That is instantly unifying. That's why we're here. Everybody can look at a very patriotic theme or a sunset theme that has the Purple Martins, and pretty much everybody that lives here has gone on a sunset cruise and seen the Purple Martins. Mm-hmm. So it becomes something that's incredibly unifying to the public. And like I said, for being known as a bedroom community, it has the economic component of challenging that to where people are visiting more of the local shops and experiencing what Chapin has to offer. But the flip side of that is it's also very unifying for a very bifurcated and very diverse population.
We've talked about how there has been a lot of connection building and relationship deepening and how one project is leveraging into the next. What could you say in terms of arts and culture in Chapin? What's next? Where is the town looking now?
So our goal and for the town, and ever since I've worked for the town of Chapin, my goal has always been, and with the support of the mayor and council, has always been to infuse as much public art as possible into the community. For being a community with the type of economics that we have, the demographics that we've got, the access, the opportunity, this isn't a community that is invested in the arts. And when I say that, I mean across all mediums. I mean, they really take to heart the opportunity to participate in arts and culture and the enrichment that that brings. Mm-hmm. But one thing that I've noticed is that Chapin doesn't particularly have a lot of opportunity for that as a town. There's not a lot of opportunity to go see a play, right? You have to go to Newberry, you have to go to Irma. There's not an opportunity to experience a choral concert, for example, at the high school because there's not a performing arts center in the high school. There's no galleries per se, unless they're owned by individual artists. Palmetto Fine Arts does a good job of having one. So we created rotating galleries through several of the storefronts so that we could try and get more. Our community building has a community room, and that's got a rotating gallery that we switch out every 2 months featuring different artists. So our next phase is not only to do these public art installations as a yearly fundraiser for the Crooked Creek Art League, which then can spearhead the next art, right? This is becoming an annual thing now for us. Mm-hmm. And we like to showcase it at Labor Day. The showcase that we just did is the current mural. You guys weren't able to see that because it hadn't gotten started the last time you were here, but we've got just the initial kind of phase. It's just some nice, pretty little art wings, but there'll be a whole Chapin mural that will be unveiled by next Labor Day. So we were able to use the first component to get people excited, and then by next Labor Day, like I said, we'll have the whole thing, and there'll be a new phase, right? We're working on some secrets that we've got. I can't unveil just yet, but there'll be
secrets
for sure. but then a real concentration and a real desire on my heart is for us to build a performing arts center. Traditionally, there's a former school property that obviously the school district owns. And they had for a large period of time an auditorium that was rented out by the Chapin Theater Company. And unfortunately, over time, it wasn't well maintained. It wasn't well taken care of. It's very old. There's asbestos. There weren't bathrooms. The building ended up getting condemned. Well, the property is just sat, and it's in a key location on the town. Footprint, and it really you really basically pass it as you're coming to town hall. So our goal and desire is through a master plan and feasibility process. We've already got Davis and Floyd working on the plans to try to develop a performing arts center. Now, this is obviously the largest undertaking that we've taken, and it will take a lot more than just the nonprofit communities. You know, we'll really have to be working with the school district and with the county to try and pull this off, but that is the next phase, is to create a different medium and a different opportunity and access for people to enjoy arts in a different way. So not just the static pieces or displays, but really the immersive arts such as plays and songwriting and singing and stuff like that. So that's next. That's what we're heading towards. Hopefully in the next 10 years, we'll be back and we'll win an achievement award for our performing arts.
Wheels already turning there.
Oh yeah, you have to plan, right? You have to dream, and then that's part of the joy of my job is getting these different nonprofit groups and community groups excited, and then really trying to capitalize on those desires and what they want, and if I can leverage all those together and some different grant opportunities, then the sky's the limit, right? You never know what you can do. So we're excited.
If I'm reading my notes right, we have worked through everything I was hoping to cover. So I could say, any final thoughts for other cities and towns about these sort of projects?
The only final thought that I think I would share with any other city or town that may be interested or may be unsure, and I'm mainly talking, I think, to the smaller towns. Larger towns seem to have a better point of opportunity, I think, just because funding and opportunity and access and that sort of things. But for smaller towns, the investment is worth it, right? The investment of time. And I think because sometimes you go, well, we don't have $10,000 in a budget to be able to do a mural. Well, that is true probably for a lot of towns. And we've been in that spot, and we are in that spot a lot of the times. However, if you just take the time and the opportunity to meet with the partners that you do have, they may have access, or you may be able to leverage that joint partnership into a grant. And it is absolutely worth every bit of your time. I had one council member one time challenge me. I'm like, why are you spending so much time on this art stuff? Like, what does that matter? And, 4 years later, they're going, the art's my favorite. My most favorite part of the town is these sailboats. I love them so much. And so it is interesting how it can seem like it may not be fixing your traffic problem. It might not be directly correlating into, you know, a check of $200 on your desk. But what it does correlate to is a sense of identity for the community, a sense of ownership and buy-in from your community members. That's very different than anything you could pay for. Let's put it that way. So if you can work with local artists, you can work with your local community. I would absolutely encourage you to do that. And Chapin's always open for any municipality or any group that wants to come visit. If you're interested, my number is obviously available. We'd love to see you. We'd love to host you. That's something that's very important to the mayor, is making sure that we're working collaboratively with our local cities and towns to not only make them better, but to make ourselves better, because there's always something we can learn from our partners.
So they can come and take pictures and shape in and carry those pictures.
I'll let you do the whole Chapin Art Trail. We'll send you on a scavenger hunt, and you can, you know, enjoy all that. I would say don't come in summer. It's hot. We're hot in Chapin, but you know, coming when the weather gets a little bit cooler, it's it is a nice activity to do. It's fun. And like I said, it's unique, because you're not just looking for one thing. Every little piece of art for us is very different. It's very unique. And it's neat to discover all these little pockets within our town fabric. We love that.
Well, you mentioned future plans for an achievement award application. So I can say, for anyone listening who is brainstorming right now for applications for the 2024 Achievement Awards, if you want to go through the winners this year, you want to see Chapin's, including the unveiling of their no longer most recent installation, their next to most recent installation.
Next to most recent, that's good.
You can find those videos on the Municipal Association's website, www.masc.sc. Search for Achievement Awards. And talking art projects is a lot of fun. So, Nicole, thank you so much for joining the podcast to talk about all of this.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. I love talking about all that Chapin has going on. And it's a pleasure to meet you finally. I listen to your podcast often and read your publications. And it's exciting to be here with you guys. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
The City Quick Connect podcast is one of several ways the Municipal Association keeps you informed of the opportunities and issues impacting South Carolina cities and towns. Learn more at www.masc.sc and stay up to date with the Association's latest happenings on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.